recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's daf in Masechet Tamid brought to you in Chomot Yerushalayim is daf Chof Zayin. Of course, they're pretending it's Me'ila in the daf Yomi, but it's actually daf Gimel. So, what is it? Yeah. Well, we call it daf Dalet, I guess. Whoever heard of us starting on Beis on the Beis, though. It's a little bit of a challenge. Anyway, we got up to Tanan Hatam, which is the third line. Okay, so let's take a look. Now, we've dealt with our Mishnah talks about the Shloshot Mikomot of the Kohanim, but the reality is that that was only a small part of Shmirah, because, I mean, you wouldn't expect anything less than 24 places of Shmirah, would you? I mean, not in a place where there are 24 Mishmarot of everything, 24 the Mishmarot Kunan, Mishmarot Leviyah, the every other thing, including the Arvas, Vinvarban, the Komot, the Kohanim that were called Leviim, and not to mention the fact that there are 24 Matnot Kahuna and 24 birds of Tumbak, birds baked in a pie, remember, the birds of the Tumayim. I mean, what would you expect? So, clearly there's got to be a 21 missing places. Let's figure out where those 21 missing places is so that we can get up to the 24 that we would expect. And sure enough, Tznan Hatam, we learn in Midot, that B'shlosha Mekomot HaKohanim Shomrim B'Beit HaMikdash, B'Beit Aftinus, B'Beit HaNitzot, B'Beit HaMoked. Ah, and here's the missing 21. V'Alavim, V'Esrim V'Achad Mekomot. Where are those 21 places? Chamisha. Oh, Chamisha Sha'arei Har HaBayit. Arba'a. Al-Arba Pinotav B'Bachutz. So there were 5 Sha'arim. I'm going to challenge that in a moment, but let's pretend. There were 5 Sha'arim to the Har HaBayit. Each one of them had a Levi. There were 4 on each one of the corners of the Har HaBayit, and those 4 were posted inside. There were 5, Chamisha Sharei HaAzara, sorry, that's what we're going to challenge, 5 on the 5 gateways into the Azara, and there were 4 also on Arba Pinotav, but there the Shomrim were outside of the Azara, meaning in the Har HaBayit. Then there was also 1 Shomer, again, we don't want Shomer, we mean 1 Moked of Shmirah. There were actually multiple Shomrim in these places. As a matter of fact, the Rambam learns that the Mishnah, the original Mishnah, has the Pirchei Kunah that were asleep and all of that. So the Shomrim, according to the Rambam, were actually sleeping there. Not just the ones that were going to be doing the Avoda, where we contrasted the Rovim and the Shomrim, which really makes the Gemara's question much more powerful. Because we're calling them Rovim, and they were calling them Pirchei. It's the same people, it wasn't different people. Okay, but so according to him, basically you had hours of Shemirah. You didn't want to chime in the entire night. So as you always have, there's the watches, and you switch off in these watches. We'll see this idea later on tonight about what sleeping on duty is called. But in any event, whatever the case is, these Shomrim, there were 10 that were appointed to each one of these locations, according to the Rambam. So we say Arba, meaning we had 4 Mokdim of Shmirah on the 4 Pinot of the Azara. Here it was Mibachutz. And it was Echad, also B'lishkata Korban, otherwise known as Lishkata Tla'im. Echad B'lishkata Parochet, which was the place where they would make the Parochot. They constantly replaced the Parochot. And 1 was behind the Azara. In other words, it would be closest to the Kotel HaMaravi. Well, not really closest, of course, because those who were the Shemrim Yipachutz on HaRabayit would be the closest. The Bifnim on HaRabayit would be the closest. But 1 was directly at the behind the Beit HaKaporet within the Azara. So here, once again, is our beautiful map, courtesy of Rav Barnea, who is very much into map quests. Give one to him, please take one out. So this, of course, this is only the Azara. And the question is whether the ones that we had mentioned earlier, which was the Beit HaMoked, is that included here? We also had now the Beit Afindes, remember, according to Yerushalmi, was on top of the Shar HaMayim, and we also had the Shar HaNitzot. Now, these were the Sha'arim, which Lichora would have had Shomrim. So we already mentioned the sheet of the Faresh, who says, well, you see, we don't mention the Levian in these locations. That would mean that there was a total of 24 different locations, and Levian were not included there. We're going to see this a little bit iffy in the Gemara to come. So keep that in mind. The question is whether these Sha'arim were included. If these Sha'arim were included, and the total of 24 means plus those 21, then the Gemara's question a little bit later is going to be problematic about the Sha'arim. But let's see. Minanimili, where do we get the idea? We already saw in the Pasuk, very clearly, we had the beautiful, beautiful diyukim about the Shomer, Mishmeret, and Mishmeret, and we're about the Aaron of Anav, the Hekesh to Moshe. So it was clear that, first of all, Shemira is in separate locations when it's mentioned. It's going to be Nagia later. And secondly, that we had three separate places where Aaron of Anav were going to be Shomer. But where do we get the idea that there were 21 Mikomot of the Shemira of the Levim? Omer of Yerubi Surah, Marmila B'matnit, Atana, look, it's basically a pasuk in Divrei HaYomim that describes the way in which David HaMelech was dealing with the various Mishmarot, Mishkan, before even the building of the Beit HaMikdash itself. So it says over there, L'mizrach HaLevim Shisha. And that was six. L'tzafona, it should say Layom Arba. I'll talk about Layom in a minute. Okay, so that's six and four. L'negba, again it should say Layom, was Arba'a, 14. Vela Asufim, Shnaim, Shnaim, which sounds like there were two of these Asufim, a little bit of a machloket, whether that's a reference to the Lishka, as the Rosh says, or maybe it's a reference to other Sha'arim, as Rabbi Tam suggests. Again, this is going to be Nogea, the question I just raised a moment ago. And besides that, there was also something additional, and that was Lefarbar. Now, if we're including Shnayim Shnayim, remember you have to add four, which is what it sounds like. Lefarbar Lema'arav was Arba'a, and we had also Lemisila Shnayim Lefarbar. Now, the Mesila, there were two different issues over here. So there was a farbar that was inside, and we'll see later on that was going to ask what that is, but barbar clearly means outside. Bar is outside. And the farbar, the Gemara learns, means klape bar, which means that it ends up, we're referring to the area right here, very small area between the back of the Azara and the wall of the Azara. This was the Achorei Beit HaKaporet. Again, this doesn't look like a lot of place, but it was a lot of place. Remember, this is a large building. So the reason that there was a shar, not really a shar, but it's actually a lul, is the Lashon of the Gemara, lul hayapoteach through this ta into the Beit Kodesh HaKadashim, all the way behind, simply to make it possible to do shechita behind the bayit, because otherwise it wouldn't be the petach ol moed. So in order to make it the petach ol moed, there needed to be some kind of opening there. And they needed every inch in order to get the avodah done on tough days. So they wanted to be makshir this area. That was already called an opening. It's called an opening, then it required shmirah, even though it wasn't a real shara, obviously. It still required shmirah. And then the ma'arav, of course, from here all the way to the western wall of the Har HaBayit, there was a long ways, much longer than this. And there is what we're referring to when we say on the other side, there were also the Shomrim. Those were the Shomrim that we were referencing earlier in the actual Har HaBayit, not in the Azara. The problem is that if you add all of this up, Halavim Shisha, that's to the Mizrach, that's six. Litzafona, you have Arba'a, that's 10. Lenegba, Liyom, another Arba'a, that's 14. And then you've got Zofim Shnayim Shnayim, that seems to add 2 and 2, so that's 18. And then you have another 4, Lefarbar, Lemarav, you have another 4. And then you have Lemisila, which is Lemisila, is a Lashon of, the Rosh suggests a Lashon of Selah. Selah, Samach Lamed Hey, that we use in Tehillim all the time, Selah, is a sense of the end. So La Mesila, even though we use that as the word as a road when we're talking about the Gvula, so La Mesila Ha'ole. So Mesila Ha'ole is a road, but it's also because of that, it makes a very clear marker and an edge. So we also use it as Sela, which means end of Keta, which they just stopped outside just to illustrate. So that would be a Sela.
Delineation?
Yeah, it delineates an end, it's a stop. So we're using it in that sense over here. But in any event, the way I add it up, it's 24. So I don't get it. Rabbi, no, you're misreading it. The Asufim Shnayim Shnayim is a mistake to think that means that it was two and two. It means Asufim Shnayim. Now, the only reason it says Shnayim Shnayim was, according to the Rosh Asufim, there were Shnei Asufim, which had Shnayim. There was Asufim Shnayim. To the Shnei Asufim, there were Shnei Levim, or Shnei Bogdim. According to the Mefarish, since it's the end of the Pasuk, it's a flourish. So in other words, to say, in each one of these locations, it repeats Shnayim, Shnayim. Like we will often say at the end of a long list, you then say, for each. And that means, in Hebrew, you say for each by repeating it. Right? Like we do in the Pitom HaKtoret. Shishasa, shishasa, mon. Okay, that means Shnayim, Shnayim. The truth is that to say that it was each had one would have clarified the problem that the Mefarsh creates for himself, which is, and why not say that, how do we know that this was in separate locations? Why not say it was all in one location? Four Levium were stationed to the west, four Levium were stationed to the south, and so on. I mean, how do you know it means, if you're saying the Shnayim, Shnayim, so that you're making it very clear, to the two, there were two Levium, that would already be an indication the whole thing was like that. Okay, but in any event, he just, he just doesn't see that as included in the Gemara here.
No, shifts would
have been. Huh? English.
Adam with the shifts.
Oh, we were talking about that before the sleeping ones came. So, according to the Rambam, there were shifts. According to everybody else, there weren't shifts. The shift was a nighttime shmira. You were on duty all night. By the way, there's a machloket rishonim, which I forgot to mention, whether shmira is only at night or whether shmira is also during the day. And we just happen to be talking about the night here because it's tummy, and we're introducing the siluk of the deshen.
The night is 12 hours.
Yeah. Well, 12 shots maniot, always by definition.
They also slept. So
according to the Rambam, they also slept in the Beit Hamokhet.
And they do shmirah and sleep.
That's Richie. Richie's great.
I'm just going to say, yeah. Lecture on sleeping.
It took turns.
Nothing's happening.
It took turns.
No. I checked it out. Everything's okay.
Yeah. our dear president. We're soon going to see how they dealt with Richie's. We're soon going to see. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yes, indeed. He'll be careful when he hears about the Ishar HaBayit. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm considering buying one of those torches. That's an interesting question. Again, you came in a little bit late, so you may have missed the full point that we're talking about the 21 Mekomot of the Levim here. As opposed to the Kohanim, but the question of the sleeping, the interrelationship of the Kohanim and the Beit HaMoked, and the story of the Levium yet remains to be seen later today. We'll talk about
The working assumptions, they went to the Abraham house, and came back. It was a Beit HaMoked for the Levium. They didn't have to sleep in the
Beit
HaMoked, actually. They came
to your house.
The Kohanim
were
in intention.
That's what he said. They came to your house.
The Levium is such an integral part.
Hung out for a while, then went back to work.
Are you talking about the Levium? Okay.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, as the Gemara, even if we say what Abaye says, we've only taken 2 off of 24, which still gives us 22. So you said there were 21. Yes, but the parbar, the original parbar, we were talking about Shnai le parbar, as opposed to le parbar le ma'arav. That was the parbar, the Shnai le parbar. Was the ones that were inside of the Azor. And then the Parba Arba'a were the ones that were at the Mesila, which were the ones all the way outside, near where we have the Kotel Maravi now. So there was really only one, even though it says two. The reason that it says two is because since he wasn't around anybody else and he couldn't see anyone else. Because remember that the ones, the Levim, that were being Shemer, the Azora, were outside, you know. So so he was basically all alone. So because of that, the Parbar was Chad Havi, but we sent him another guy to keep him company. So that was for Tzavta. And that was, you know, that's what in Hebrew, that's called the Tzevet, because they never do anything, they just sit and talk. But that's what the Tzevet is for, so that's the Tzavta that kept him company. So there were really only 21 places listed here, even though it lists 22 people, or 22 groups. Why? Because we wanted Tzavta does v'yativ gabei mishum dekoy avroy, because he's all by himself, away from everybody else, and indeed my lefarbar, that word lefarbar, as Rabba Barav Shila points out, it's kibandi omar klape bar, that it was the petach, that was klape bar, faced the outside from the Kodesh HaKadoshim towards the west, and therefore he was by himself. Now, Blayom, which they managed to mess up the pasuk here in the Gemara, and they turned it into Leviim instead of Layom. There's no word Leviim there. It says Layom. And Layom means that they were facing east. Mm-hmm. Why they were facing east, there are different approaches. Some say it's Gzerot HaKatuv B'Alma. Others say it's obvious why they were facing the east. The entranceway to the Beit HaMikdash was from the east. So even though we had...
They came in from the east. That's what
we
just said, right?
Yeah, from the east. So therefore the Shomrim, wherever they were, would be facing in that direction, even though I'm all the way behind. But this way everybody basically was looking towards the direction where people would be invasive. Now, that's one approach. What we could say, that in reality, Yiboyit Eima, Li'olam Esrim V'Arba. There really were 24 Kedekviv, like it says. But three of the listing here were actually Kohanim. So that left us 20. We already saw in the Pasuk in the Torah, Aaron of Anav, that's three. So obviously, here in Divrei HaYomim, we're meant to reduce the total number of Leviim by the three Kohanim. What, says the Gemara? But it says Beferush Leviim. How can you say Esir V'chad only a Leviim? V'yachal Leviim Udichtiv on all 24. That's not a problem. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, B'esrim v'arba'a mekomot nikru kohanim Leviim. And here is the classic example, v'akohanim ha-Leviim b'nei Tzadok. So obviously, the Torah uses the broader term Levi to include also kohanim. Then you said we're chamisha shere harabayit, and four al arba pinotav, and they stood inside the harabayit, whereas there were chamisha shere azara, and there too there were four on the four corners, but they stood outside of the azara. Why? So maishna harabayit davdina mitocho, umaishna azara davdina mibachutz. But if anything, it should be the other way around. If you have Shomrim on the Harabayit, so then that's the part that's exposed to the outside, so they should be outside. The people that are in the Azara are more just a question of seeing to that everything is a Baal Mekomo, so they should be inside. So Maishan Harabayit, Avinu Mitocho, Umaishan Azara, Avinu Mibachutz. And it's very simple. Amri. In the Harabayit, if a Shomer gets tired, he can sit down. The time of boy made of Yativ. There's no Isser of sitting in the Harabayit. So because of that, we make the mokdim of the Shmirah inside of the Harabayit, and therefore let them sit. But in the Azara, where if a Shomer got tired, he wouldn't be allowed to sit. The Tam Avoy L'Meitab, Lo Matziyatif. The Yom Amar, In Yeshiva Ba'Azara, Lo L'Malchei Bet David Bilvad. So over there, Amrin Al Bibachutz. So that essentially, the whole meaning of the Shmirah is internal anyway, as we pointed out, as the Rambam says, and so clearly that this is all part of Lichvod Habayit. Now, you said, and this gets me very confused, Amar Chamisha, Chamisha Sharei Azara. I don't understand. There were not Chamisha Sharim in the Azara. There were Shiva Sharim Ayu Bazara. Shlosha B'Tzafon, Shlosha B'Doron, V'Yachad B'Mizrach. You can see this very clearly, right here. Right? So, how in the world did you get away with saying there were only five? Now, the problem here is that the answer is very obvious, no? Two of the Sha'arim that the Kohanim were watching in was the Beit HaMokeh on one side and the Shah HaNitzutz on the other side. So that explains why what we mean is that if we're talking about the Levi'im here, so then there were on the five Sha'arim that were not covered by the Kohanim. But we already had two that were covered by the Kohanim. So this would be a pretty idiotic question in that case. If you're telling me, the way the Mefarish was telling us, that the locations of the Levi'im are not parallel to any of the locations of the Kohanim, and that we Badafka left out the locations of the Levi'im, and that even though it said before Shakonim Shomrim Milamala, Valavim Milamata, that did not mean in the same place. It was just a statement about, you know, it sounds pretty counterintuitive to the way it was said. But what can you do? It's got to mean that, because otherwise, how come it doesn't show up in the list? So no, I mean, so obviously there's only five Sha'arim because the other two are covered. But the question is just outrageous. This troubles the Rosh with that approach. I mean, well, how can we say that? So therefore, he learns. Of course, they were included. It meant exactly what it said before. So that what it was referring to here was in fact the Levi'im that were downstairs in the Beit HaMokeh, outside of the Shah HaNitzotz. And therefore we're asking this question. So Abaye answers, well, yes, there were indeed seven Sha'arim, but two of the Sha'arim did not require Shimur. Now obviously, the Mefarish will explain that with saying, oh, right, we just remembered, we already had Shimur there from the Kohanim. Which the Rosh thinks is pretty funny. What do you mean, you just remembered? I mean, that's what we're talking about over here. So therefore, the Rosh learns that what it means is they don't need Shimur because always a middle Shar will be covered in exactly the same way that we spoke about the two gateways in the Beit HaMokeh, one going towards the Chel and one going into the Azorah, only required one Mokeh of Shmirah. Because you could cover both locations. So if that would be the case, there was a middle Shar, says the Rosh. So only the one to the furthest north, the one east, the one to the furthest west, would require Shmirah, and then those two Shomrim would be able to easily cover the middle Shar. Well, would we need an extra Shmirah in the middle Shar? That's how he understands the answer. See, well, there's two very different approaches. Rava Amar, Rava says, look, as far as the number of Sha'arim are concerned, it's really not a problem. Because you are taking our description of events, as the Rambam points out. That's the reason Tamid was put all the way after everything else. Because it just tells you the way it is. It doesn't tell you anything of Chochmah, does it? It's just a story, basically. This is what used to be in the Beit HaMikdash. This is the Seder as it ends, actually. Sheyiva Nebi Merav Yameinu. The problem is, says the Gemara, you're taking this story a little too literal. In other words, you think we really know what we're talking about? This is a reconstruction. You're saying, if we tell you five, it's got to be there was five. So how come it says seven? But it's not true. If we tell you five, we may be wrong. Because the fact is, we know that there's a machloket about how many gates there are. I can prove that. Because even if somehow or other there were seven, and we mean one of these other answers, I can show you that there's definitely someone who says there were eight. So if there's someone who says there were eight, maybe there's someone who says there were five. I mean, the whole thing is not meant to be more than a reconstruction. It's not as if we have a Kabbalah that this is exactly the way it is. In which case, Rav Amar Tanai. I can't prove to you that there's Tanoim about the five, but I know that there's definitely Tanoim about seven versus eight. The Tanya, Ein pochatin bishlosha asar gizborim, Umishiva Amar Kalim. So we never have less, as we're told in Shikalim, than 13 Gizbarim, and these are Achraim on Shmirah. 7 Amar Kalim does not mean Makolets, it means Amar Kol, not Markol. Amar Kol, somebody who says it all, meaning superintendents, they're the guys on top. Rabbi Natan Omer, this Ein Pochatim Shlosha Gizborim are Keneged Shlosh Esrei Sha'arim. Now, obviously, he means Shlosh Esrei Sha'arim for the entire description here, which would include all the Shavrim, both of the Azara and of the Harabite. Fine, so take off the five of the Harabite. You're still left with a minimum of eight for the Azara, right? So there's obviously a machlokes tanoim. I mean, there is a Tana. Alma iketana yomer tamani havo, okay? So then achinami iketana yomer shiva, iketana yomer chamisha. What are you asking me? It's not a big deal. There's different opinions. All right. Lo haya yishanim b'bigdei kodesh. Okay, then you say they did not sleep in b'gdei kodesh. What is the significance of not sleeping in b'gdei kodesh? I mean, Bishlama, if you were telling me, the Kohanim, when they were not doing Avodah, did not wear Begadim. Fine. Well, that makes sense. The Begadim were given for Avodah purposes. You can't just use them for anything. You're going to sit back to have some tea and a smoke. What are you doing wearing Big Dekuna? That would be Me'ila. How could you be wearing Begadim that are meant for the use? Yeah, well, it's meant for the use of the Beit HaMikdash. You can't just sit around with it. Okay, then I would understand that they're not meant to be nenefron. When you tell me you can't sleep in them, I mean, you said about any clothes, you don't sleep in your clothes. You make the clothes filthy, especially if there's kedushin in the Big Day Kahuna, they would have to sit in a tefillin. You can't sleep with your tefillin on, for obvious reasons. It's even worse to sleep with these clothes on. So if you're telling me the only problem is you don't sleep with the clothes, then what you're telling me is that you can wear the clothes to the cafeteria. That's what you're saying. The Sheina Udalo, right? You can certainly walk around with them, stam. By the way, just to make it clear, the Gemara elsewhere says, which means that obviously the Kohen didn't strip the minute he finished doing the Aveda and then walk naked to the nearest bathroom, and that's ridiculous. She said, well, what are you wearing a big kahuna for? You're being over on an issue. The point is, if I'm telling you to wear these clothing, you're supposed to wear them normally. That's for sure. Nobody suggests that only the instant of Aveda you wear the Big Day Kuna. There's no way to do that. The question is whether once you're off duty, can you walk around with the Big Day Kuna? So understand, you can't go to sleep with the Big Day Kuna. But can you walk around? The mashmuah is here that you can. Shmamina, Big Day Kuna, needs new leanot b'hem. It's not only that the Big Day Kuna were given to you to wear the way a normal human being on duty wears clothes. That's for sure, at least that it was given up. But it was even given for your personal usage. It says, no, not necessarily.
Only in the Mishkan.
Yes, yeah.
Couldn't
that help? No. Amri, who had enough feel he looked Nami? It's very possible that even walking around is usur. The only reason that we might have mentioned here specifically sleeping is because we were interested in bringing the continuation, which said in the Seifa, what did they do with them? Since we wanted to say this chiddush, that the Big Day Kohanim were folded and put under their heads, so in order to say that, we have to talk about sleepy time. So we say, well, when they went to bed, they didn't wear the Big Day Kohanim, they folded them under their heads. So k'tani reisha lo haya yishanim. Oh, man, that's even a better raya than I had. If you're allowed to sleep on the Big Day Kahuna.
On them.
It says under their heads. So forget about my first raya. Okay, great. That's the reason. Hagufa raya, that's the biggest question. So Hagufa gakash. It says, they could use the Big Day Kahuna as a pillow. So Shmamina Big Day Kahuna didulanotvem. That's the best raya, that you can use the Big Day Kahuna. No, when it says tachat roshehem, what it means is actually neged roshehem. In other words, it, not actually on it, but you put it to the side. Omer of Papa, well, if that's true, and over here the problem would be, if it wasn't nitul anot mehem, he was just envisioning the scene of the... If it wasn't nitna le'not man, and you're allowing them to keep it by the side of their head, and you're not chayshed, what about if in the middle of his sleep, you know, subconsciously, she's comfortable, rolls over on the Big Day Kahuna, we're over there, there's real problems of possibility, right? There's going to be mail on them, right?
We've done this before.
I squealed. Well, I shouldn't have. I should have realized you guys have too good of a memory for me to tell you things in advance and then you throw it back at me. That was me. Me, Elon. So that raya is clear. But here we're dealing with the diorite. Alachat kama v'kama. Somebody rolls up his tefillin. He wants to do a shmir on his tefillin, so he puts it, he can't put it under his head, but he put it right next to his head. Say, so, well, what if he rolls over on his tefillin as a bizayin? Well, we're not even chayshit for a diorite. Koshka, we're not chayshit for a bizayin, right? So, you see, from here, says Rav Papa, Shmamina, Tfilin, Minatzat Shai, Velo Chachina, Dilma, Migander, Vanafla Layo. We're not worried the guy's going to toss and turn in his sleep. He's going to end up sleeping on his Tfilin. Because we're not even worried here about the possibility he'll end up sleeping on his Big Day Kahuna. By the way, and think of this, Afinami Mistabra, of course. It's got to mean Tachat Rosh Hashanah. Because even if you hold that Big Day Kahuna would be. Tachat Rosh Hashanah means Keneged Rosh Hashanah. You were supposed to bring a slightly larger memory chip for him. He keeps going back only three words. The Iyamrit Tachat Rosh Hashanah. If you're going to say it means literally Tachat Rosh Hashanah, let's even assume that you're allowed to be Nana from the Big Day Kahuna. What about the Kilayim? What about the Kilayim problem? That's the Me'ilah problem. What about the Kilayim problem? Isn't that an issue? So, I mean, so what good is it? Typically, let me show the Kilayim. So obviously, there's going to be an issue of Kilayim. Now, I understand there is a way out of this problem. You could, I mean, there's a Mandi Omer that says that the Avnate that the Kohen Hediot wore did not have Kilayim in it, and that the description of the Avnate in the Torah is only the Avnate of the Kohen Gadol. Yes, over there you had this whole mixture of different things, the beautiful threads and so on, which you had Tchilat and Hagaman and Tolat Shani and Sheish, and therefore, by definition, you have Kilayim. But, so that's okay. The normal daily Avnet of the Kohen Gadol, which was Kilayim, Lozeo Avnet of the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol was not Kilayim, so then, okay, I cannot prove to you that it cannot meet under their heads, because there was no Kilayim. But according to Rabban Yomar, but that holds up Netosha Kohen Adyot was exactly the same as the Avnit of the Kohen Gadol every day. So what are you going to say? What are you going to say about the Kilayim? Certainly they wouldn't be over on Kilayim, but putting it beneath their heads. I know what you're going to try to tell me. You're going to try to tell me, Bechitema, that maybe Kilayim is really only Osir Ba'aliyah or Belavishah. You can't cover yourself with Kilayim. You can't put Kilayim on. Who the Osir? But to put it underneath you, who's to say that it's Osir? Well, maybe to take Shapir Dami, maybe that's okay, but we know that that's not true, because Vatanya, even though it says in the Torah, specifically, Beket Kilayim Sha'at Nez, Lo Ya'ale Alecha, which seems to mean only to put it on you, you are allowed to wear it underneath you, which would mean that you can use it as your pillow. But look at the continuation. We don't allow you to do such a thing. Because what happens if a thread gets caught around your finger? And then you'll be over on Kilayim. Maybe you'll tell me, okay, so what they did is they put the Big Day Kahuna underneath their sleeping bags. So that way, there wasn't a chashash that they would be nene from Kilayim. There'd be no way that it would be korach chalatz ba'oh. No, because Amr Rabbi Shimon, Amr Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amr Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, Mishum Kila Kadisha, Shebi Yerushalayim, Afilo Eser Matzahot, Zoagabizo, the old princess and the pea. 10 Matzahot, one on the other, and one Kilayim pea underneath it all, is Osir Lishon Aleha. That even though we do have a cloth that we don't make Yisurin Derabbanan in the Beit HaMikdash, that's only Nogea things that are for Avodah purposes. But over here, there's no Avodah to search in with this. Why not make the same Gezerah? Must be there for Shmamina. That when it says Takat Rosh Hashem, what is the meaning of Takat Rosh Hashem? It's got to mean Keneged Rosh Hashem. So, it makes sense. Makes sense what I'm saying. But yeah, it doesn't. You can't bring Raya from here, because what it really meant was to put it on the side. Shema Amina.
Why would they do that? Why would they just keep it in the closet?
Shmira. There is no closet. The closets were behind the Beit HaParochet. Yeah. And remember, it needed to be right next to them. By the time they knock on the door,
the morning.
Don't make that tea. I see what you're thinking. I already have water. You want tea. That's the old Harriet story. He goes and he works a whole night calving this cow, you know. The guy is dying. He hasn't had anything. This farmer, a Yorkshire farmer, doesn't offer him a thing. Finally, he finishes. So the guy's there, you know, their mother's already starting to nurse the calf. So finally, the guy says, "Oh, how about a bit of tea?" "Yes, that would be a great idea. I'd love some tea." "No, not for you, for the cow." Anyway, yes, so that's one possibility that indeed we could prove from it. Or, you know what, it could be that this whole thing is really irrelevant to our discussion, because you could say that even though it does talk about these begadim, and it would mean tachat roshim, literally, it would mean they'd leave the avnet out. I mean, what good is an avnet anyway? It's a pillow. So it means the big begadim they would put under, if it meant that. So maybe it's both on she'en ben kilayim. Ravashi says, "I have the best answer. The best answer is that there's no iser kilayim, even though it's made out of tzemru pishtim. Why? That's a similar. Others were, almost everybody argues on that approach, which is the Mefarish's approach here. Ramazim to Rashi elsewhere, where it's mashma that. Everybody else says, can't mean there's no kilayim at all. No, it can't mean there's no kilayim in the big dekuna in terms of levisha. But there would be no basis for gizera of kilayim on Shema Ticharech, because the big dekuna were made out of very thick threads. Because they were kafel, the avnet was the threads were kafel. Each one of them was six, then it was kafel to 24. There's no way that such a thing could be wrapped around your finger. It's like a rope. And therefore, since big dekuna kashim, he nomer from the brother of Yeshua, hai namta gamda denarish is sharia, so that the namta, now of course this is a little bit of a problem, because in narish, what they used to wear, they had over there, was a namta. Namta is felt. So this bechlal, this doesn't seem to have much to do with anything, since felt is not shuatav ivanos, by definition. Shuatav ivanos means it has to be twisted and woven. So where's the spinning? If you're talking about a process that creates fibers by pressing them together. Okay, so anyway, it would only be a drabbanan. If it was the one that they used in Narish, it was very thick, like a Borsellino hat. So obviously that's not going to be mechamim you. You only wear that hat because it's necessary to be allowed into the churva. But you certainly don't wear it to stay warm.
That's the only reason I wear mine.
Okay, so the question of yours, Abida, you were not talking about a felt, obviously. You know. So, Abida, it does sound more like, and therefore we're not going to be gozer on it because it is so thick, tough, it's not mechamim, and that's how Rashi and the Mefarish are over here. Okay, now this next piece seems to be actually not very important to our sugya at all. It seems to have been imported here from Yuma. And therefore it's pretty simple to take it out. So, but we might as well read it because it's meanwhile it sheds some light on the issue. Tashma, our president actually raised this question, and therefore it's clear that it must be in the Gemara. Tashma, big day kuhuna, hayotze bem lebedina asur. ובמקדש בין בשעת עבודה בין שלא בשעת עבודה מותר. מפני שבגדי כהונה ניתנו להנות בהן. שמע מן. So see from here, it says בפרש, you can use the בגדי כהונה להנות, but you cannot go outdoors with them. It's given to you to be nene in the בית המקדש. That's your answer. Ask the Gemara, but we know that Shimon HaTzadik wore the big day kahuna outside of the Beit HaMikdash in the famous story of the Kutim and Alexander. So remember that the Kutim had arranged to have Alexander destroy the Beit HaMikdash. And in fact, on the 21st day of Tevet, Bechof Alevbo, is the holiday of Yom Har Grizim, where it's usher to say Hespedim, because we're very happy on that day. As you know, this is, you see clearly it's an insert, because it says, as it says in Masechet Yoma, in Perek Balak Kohen Gadol, etc., etc. And read that whole story until you get to Ad, until you get to the words, Ibaitema. So just in case you weren't sure that this doesn't belong here, you now know. But in any event, it's fun, because the story over there was, of course, that Shimon HaTzadik put on this beautiful big dekuna, and as the sun came up, Alexander sees him, and he comes and bows down to him, and the soldier, you bow down to this Jew boy, and he says, there's a demut of this man goes in front of our armies, and that's the only reason that we win all the time. And Shimon HaTzadik says, yeah, that's why I was wondering. I mean, you know, you're coming to destroy the place where they pray for your success all the time because of these idiots that are trying to tell you it's a bit. What idiots? These idiots, the ones over here. Oh, he says, do whatever you want with them. So he has the entire Har Grizim plowed up, the Migdash of the Kutim destroyed, and he has them dragged on wild horses across the ground. And okay, so they made a holiday out of that. A little violence is always good for a holiday. And that's Yom Har Grizim. Okay, anyway, answers the Gemara there, and we get to this. Either Hiboyt Ema, when it says he put on the big dekuna, it doesn't mean he put on the big dekuna. He put on begodim that were not the kuddish for the big dekuna, but they were ruim the big dekuna. I mean, he was only trying to basically do a stage thing for Alexander, but it had to be the big dekuna. Or you could say, maybe it was the big dekuna. Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. Okay, continues on the Mishnah. Mishnah says, one of the boys was Roya Carey. What does he do? Goes down through the Mechila. Through the Mechila? For heaven's sakes, the Mechila went under the Azara. So, I mean, until now, we were careful to have him sleep in the Chelik of the Beit HaMoked that was open to the Chel, which was not in the Kodesh. Because the Baal Keri is not allowed to be in the Kodesh. We're going to tell him not to go into the Azara. What are we, crazy? What is he going into the Mechila for in order to get to the Mikveh? So Raya, therefore, to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that indeed the Mechilot lo nitkadash, that the kid, there was no Kiddusha on a Mechila that opened into the Chel, so that the Azara did not penetrate downwards. It went according to where its Petach was. Since the Petach is in the Beit HaMoked, Beit HaMoked is open to the Chel, and only had the Kiddusha of the Chel. So there was no problem of his going to the Mikveh. Another thing that Rabbi Yochanan said that is unrelated to the first thing is that a Baal Keri is mishtaleach chutz l'shnei machanot, and that he's not allowed in the Chel either. But the fact is that these, we're talking about Gzerot Rabbanan, it's not our location over here, but I do want to tell you that there are those who learn that Mechilot lo nitkadashu means lo nitkadashu at all. And that there is a relationship between the two. But then, of course, it makes no sense to say that he would then come up out of the mikveh, sit there in the Beit HaMoked with Echav HaKohanim, and get out only when they open up the door. He should stay underground. If we want to avoid his being in the Beit HaMikdash area at all. So, okay, that's a little bit of a problem, but we'll continue. And then he goes down, and we had the lighting on either side. These were the emergency lightings, mikveh. It's like when they show you on the plane. Now, so the floor lighting on either side that points the way to the mikveh, of course. And then he got to the Beit Kisei Shel Kavod, and in the Beit Kisei Shel Kavod, what was its kavod, says the Mishnah? It had a door. If the door was closed, then somebody was in there. And don't knock. And don't go, that's its kavod. Now,
a door or a lock?
A door. No, it means simply closed.
It didn't have to be locked.
Exactly. If the door was closed, it didn't have to be locked. Now, Rav Safra, Havayatvi Beit HaKisei, there was Rav Safra sitting in the bathroom, and Rav Av, which did not have a door, and therefore is not a Beit Kisei Shel Kavod, and comes along Rav Av, and in order to know whether someone was in the bathroom, he was nocharlei. Because it wasn't a Beit Kisei Shel Kavod. Now, what you're supposed to do, if you're in the bathroom and somebody's nocharlei, you go, and the guy goes away.
That's singing Moon River or something.
Instead, what Rav Safra said is, "Oh, you're welcome to join me." This is like the British approach, you know, where they have bathrooms for two girls at a time, you know, because I mean, you can't expect a girl to go all by herself to the bathroom. So Amalei Leomar. Okay. Anyway, after Rav Safra came out, Rav Abba told him, "You know, you are a real slob. Atkan lo silikta l'seir, and already gomarta mile l'seir. You know, you haven't even gotten to Rome, but you're already doing it as the Romans do. What's the matter with you?" So remember that they're the Parsim, or Mishabeachani the Parsim, that they're snuing the Beit HaKiseh. So there's some learned that Adayin lo higata l'seir means he was planning on going to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was called Seir, because perhaps it was under the control of the Yishmaelim at the time. Yishmaelim is called their Domim Lesirim. Or it may be that it was ultimately under the Shilton of Edom, and therefore, you know, you haven't even gotten there at the soul, would be the meaning here. But in any event, whatever it is, indeed, the Mishnah seems to make it pretty clear this isn't the way to do things. Because Lava Kitzan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah Matzon Naul Biyodua Shiyesham Adam? So that's the whole point, is you're not supposed to even knock. So Lameima the Lomi Boy Lameil. I mean, that's the whole idea, is wait until the other guy finishes. So, I mean, yeah, well, what exactly was Rav Safra thinking? Rav Safra was afraid that actually Rav Abba was in dire need of a bathroom. And that if Rav Abba knew that he was there, he wouldn't go in, come out of hot water, even if it meant that he himself, Rav Abba, would be medically damaged. So therefore he said, as far as I'm concerned, is what he meant is, you're welcome to come in if you feel that you need to come in. That's all he was trying to say. So the point was, he thought that when the Sukkah, maybe he was in a desperate state. You have a backup, a fecal matter. You can get dysentery, it's terrible. If you have a backup of urine, you can damage your liver and end up with jaundice. So he was afraid that maybe it was already at that stage. That's why he told him that. He could obviously have just gone, but then Rav Abba, he was afraid, would take it as, well, what can I do? I'll just have to wait. One of the things that Rav taught his son Chia, and Rav Huna taught his son Rabba, was, you know, what you should do is, you have to habituate your body to chashich takin nafshecha v'kadim takin nafshecha. As soon as it gets dark, you go to the bathroom, if you don't have to go to the bathroom. And when you get up early in the morning, before anybody else gets up, it's dark still, use that time to go to the bathroom. That way your body will be used to eliminating waste in the early morning when nobody else is around, and in the nighttime when nobody else is around, because if you need to go to the bathroom during the day, they didn't have bathrooms in the middle of town. So you would have to go out of town. So, you don't want to need to go far away. And as far as your tzniut is concerned, even though a maisa is dark, tov v'galei, first sit and then uncover yourself. And then kasei v'kum, cover yourself and then get up. When you are drinking, always wash out the cup that you're drinking from, because the slob who used it before you may not have washed out the cup, even though I'm about to tell you to shtof v'achit. Never put down a cup when you finish drinking it without washing it out. That's all we need, is to start transferring disease from one person to another. So be careful about cleanliness. Boy, did this get people killed when the Jews were always healthy and everybody else was dying. Now that's as far as if you're drinking things that are foodstuffs. Let's say wine. You can't use the wine in the cup to pour some out over the edges of the cup. But if you're drinking water, then you can use the water in the cup to pour around the edges of the cup where somebody drank from. So that way you clean off the germs first, and then you can drink. So kishata shotemayim, shvoch them, pour them over the edge where the kos had been used, and then give it to your Talmid. Because, as the Mefarshim say, a Rav would often think that just because he loved his Talmud loved him, which ain't necessarily so. So he thought, you know, well, You know, we could share a few germs and we're around each other all the time, you know. So if I drink, I can give him my cup. But the Talmud might not appreciate that, okay? So first pour out some, and then give it to your Talmud. Kiretana lo yishtemai adam mayim v'yitein le'talmido elim kein shafach me'am, because you can't expect the Talmud to insult you by pouring it out in front of you and saying, oh, yuck, I don't want to use your germs, right? I mean, that would be very insulting. So what's the poor kid going to do? You know? So therefore, there was actually a maisa where some Rav drank, and he didn't pour out mayim. He gives it to his Talmud. Now, that Talmud wasn't going to drink. He was an istinisaya. Lo ratzah lishtot. He didn't want to drink water that his Rebbe had had. And the poor guy ended up staying in shir until he dropped dead because he got dehydrated. And he actually died mate bitzama. So they were gozer, botasha'a, amru, lo yishtad amayim, v'yitin the Talmidot, ela imken shafach mehem. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says, well, there's a corollary to that. If that's the case, in the event that a Talmud that would pour water out in front of his Rebbe is not considered to be disrespectful. Let be mishum avkiruta, because if the Talmud sees that he needs to pour it out, so then that is accepted. Because he's meant to be taken for granted. You don't share germs. Doesn't matter with who it is, you don't share germs. Komili, there is a rule, the komili lo tiflot ba'api rabcha, don't spit in front of your Rebbe. But if you have reflux, don't re-swallow reflux that comes after eating pumpkin or hot cereal. That stuff is like drinking hot lead. Forget about it. Save your life. Spit it out right there in front of your Rebbe. So that's like kiptila shel avar dam. Tzanhatzim. In those days, oh, Yashrehem, they didn't put up with people who slept in Daf Yomi. Instead, what did they do? They sent the Ish Har Habayit. Ish is a lashon of Sarut, someone who's choshev. So it says, Eilechem Mishim Mekra. So those are the important people. So this was the Ish Har Habayit. So he was Mr. Har Habayit himself. Now that's a question, by the way, it's Machlokas in the Mefarshim, whether he's really only Mr. Har Habayit, meaning that his area of duty was only on Har Habayit and not in the Azorah, or was he in the Azorah as well? Was he only on the Levim, or was he on the Levim and the Kayanim? Okay, there's a Machlokas about this, Raya's Lakan and Lakan. Anyway, he would go around, I'll call Mishmar Umishmar, and there were people walking in front of him with torches, Richie. Torches. Now,
torches.
Yeah, not torches, but tortures. As in tortures, exactly. Now, when the Ish Har Habayit came around, the response of the Shomer was to jump up and to say, Ish Har Habayit, Shalom Alecha. But if he didn't, Nikashu Yashem. So Komish Marsha Ino made anybody doesn't jump up and say, Ish Har Habayit, Shalom Alecha. It was clear that he was asleep. You don't give him a chance to wake up. You smash him with your stick while he's sleeping. So Chofto B'Maklo. Now, if he was a recidivist, Reshut Aitano Lisrof Iksuto, you could actually burn his clothes off. That will teach him. You know, there was always in Yerushalayim, people would always say, my God, what is all that screaming coming out of the Azorah? And people would say, oh my gosh, there goes another Ben Levi getting beaten up. He must have fallen asleep in Daf Yomi. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, yeah, it once happened to Unk. You know, when Rabbi Yochanan used to come to this right over here, things used to have standards. Yes, once upon a time, I feel all honest, she now said din. Even the kind of thing that happens to a guy without really meaning, you just fell asleep, didn't even mean to. But nonetheless, they made sure it didn't happen again. And they were all said din. Imagine on real things, shalom aloneshina, where there's no good excuse. Alachat kama v'kama. Take that to your heart, Richie, and smoke it. My suspicion is that it does not say kisuto. It means kisto, which is the keset, sleeping bag that he had. We saw before that we got confused by the girsa. So that would be bidik and agadmir. You want to go to sleep? You don't need a sleeping bag anymore. Boom. Tnanatan b'shlosh, ha-mikomot ha-kohanim shomrim b'beit ha-migdash, b'beit ha-ftinas, b'beit ha-nitzutz, b'beit ha-moket, v'ha-leviyim b'esrim v'echad mikomot, chamisha sharei har-abayit, arba al arba pinot tav mibifnim, chamisha sharei azara, arba al arba pinot tav mibachutz, echad b'lishkat ha-korban, echad b'lishkat ha-parochet, v'echad achorei b'beit ha-kaparet. Mino ani milen? Om Rav Yudam Nisura, Ve'armila B'matnit, Tatana Dechtiv, Limizrach Haravim Shisha, Litzvona Leyom Arba'a, Lenegba Leyom Arba'a, Vala Asufim Shnaim Shnaim, Lefarbar Lemarav Arba'a, Lemisiba, Shnaim Leparba. That's a great rhyme, except that it's 24. Om Rabbi, no, Haki Kamar, Lasufim Shnaim. Okay, but it's still 22. Well, if the parbar was really only one, the akrina was betzavto de azviyativ gabe, and the reason we did that was b'shub dekoy avroi, and he needed some, you know, a little bit of moral support. Myla parbar omar rabba barat barav shila kabani omar klape bar. Viboitem el olam, it really is a srim varba, just like it says. Except that tlate minaya with a kohen, esrim v'chad with a levim. How can you say it says Leviim Udechtiv? But as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi pointed out, Yom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Vesrim v'arba mekomot nikru kohanim Leviim, v'ze echad mehem. The best possible example. V'akohanim ha-Leviim b'nei Tzadok. Chamisha al chamisha sharei har-abayit v'arba al arba pinotav mitocho. Chamisha al chamisha sharei azara v'arba al arba pinotav mibachutz. Now why is that? So fine. Because after all, so over there, mibachutz. You said chamisha, chamisha, sharei azara. You said there were only chamisha sharim to the azara. What I mean? Shiva sharim ayu ba'azara, shlosha b'tzafon, shlosha b'darom, lechad b'mizrach. Omer Rabbi, yeah, but betray b'nei lo tzricha shimo. Rav omer Tanoi d'Tanya, ein pochatim mishlosha asar gizbarim misheva markulim. Rabbi Natan omer, ein pochatim mishlosha asar gizbarim kneged shlosha asar sharim. How do you get that? Even if you're dal chamisha d'arabayit, you're still left with eight. So Alma Iketan Ermitmani Avo. So then why not say Okinam Iketan Inamar Shiva or Iketan Inamar Chamisha Avo? Lo Ayu Yishen Lebig De Kodesh. Oh, only Shenahu Dolo? But what? Hiluch Malchim? So apparently Shmamin Abig De Kunan Nidun Lanot Bien. No. It could be Afilu Hiluch Namimo. Only reason we introduced this piece with the words Lo Ayu Yishenim is because we wanted to get to the Sefer where it says Ela Poshtin B'Kaplan Minicham Tachat Rosh Hashem. So because of that, Katani Reishenam Lo Ayu Yishenim. That's even a better raya. Yagufa Kakasha. It says Minichinotan Tachat Rosh Hashem. How could they do that? Using it as a pillow? Shmamin Abig Dekunen Nulein Otbeam. And that just means naked Rosh Hashem. Omer of Papa, if that's the case, you're not concerned that you're going to roll over, so then Shema Aminat Tefillin are also allowed to be put right next to your head when you go to sleep. And Sharin V'lochashinan Dima Minga Dir V'nafil Alay. By the way, it's not far-fetched at all. Lachin Av Mistava, the Kenegad Rosh Hashem, because how could it mean literally Tagad Rosh Hashem? Let's say you're allowed to wear them in terms of Me'ilah, but what about Tepiklam Yishum Yisroel de Kelayim? So anyway, you wouldn't be able, unless, of course, then there was no Kelayim. Okay, fine. sending Rav Raya. But what about according to the Bound Yom Rav Deta Shakoin at Yod? Zerov Deta Shakoin Gadol, Michael Mima. Vachite Mekilayim is only Asr Bali Avalavishau the Asr. But Memak Tute is okay. Shaper Dami Vatanya. It does say in the Torah, Lo Yale Alecha, which would imply Avalata Maitzio Tachtecha. The only thing is that Omru Chachamim Asr Lasotkein. So maybe you'll say, okay, so they put it under the sleeping bag. So if we get him in a mafsik meeting, Om Rabbi Shimon, Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Om Rabbi Yossi ben Shomu, Mishum Kila, Kadishar, Shab Yerushalayim, Afilu Eser Matzaot, Zoh Agave, Zoh Vekelayim, Tachtayim, Osur Lishon Aleyim. Must be therefore, Shema Mina, Neged Roshayim is only Neged Shema Mina. Or maybe not, actually. Maybe it's referring to Otan Shenbang and Klein. Rav Ashi says there's no problem at all. Big day kuna kashime. Dom Ravuna Brother Yeshua. Hai namta gamda dara narish. It's Sharia. Toshma big day kuna yatsemim minina asurba migdash ben bishata vada ben shalom bishata vada mutar. Big day kuna nitana napian. Shmamino. What? Bimidina lo? Vatanya Vesrimve Arba and Teve, the bow is Yom Har Grizim, Dolonomispet, Kedita Biyuma, etc., etc., Perak Balako and Gadol, because you don't have your computer handy. Anyway, read that through Ad Ibaitema, Ruin, in La Big Dekuna, or Ibaitema, Etla Sot Hashem, Hey Feru Torah Techa, pop back up, thank you, Ira Keri, Beachad Mehem, and then he would go through the Misilah to the Mikvah, apparently, it's a raya, clearly, to Rabbi Yochanan. He also said at the same time that Abal Keri is Mishtaleach with Shnei Machanot. And then we have the path. Anerot Okim. Mikan, Mikan. Then there was a Beit HaKiseh Shel Kavod Hayasham, Vezah Yakvodo, etc., etc. So Rav Safra Viyati Beit HaKiseh, Ater Rav Abba Nocharlei, to which he responded, please do come in. Man, what a slob. What is the point there of its kavod? That you're not supposed to go in. But Rav Safra Sava Dilan Misukanu. Yitani Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Amuda Chazer Meviat Adam Lidei Adrokan Silona Chazer Meviat Adam Lidei Yerakon Omer Lei Rav Lachi Aberei Lachin Omer Lei Ravuna Rav Aberei. Why don't you get your body used to Choshir Toki Nafshka V'Kodim Toki Nafshka Kech Alot Tircha Tu V'Galei V'Chasei V'Kum Shtof V'Shati Shtof V'Yachid U'Chishata Shotemayim. First, shvok me'em a little bit to clean your cup out around where you drank from. V'yachakach ten the talmidecha. K'detanya lo yishteh adam mayim v'yitin the talmidor alam ken shafach me'em. Ma'aseh be'echad shishata mayim lo shafach me'em. V'natan the talmidor v'oto talmidistin. Yisraya lo ratza lishtot u'met b'tzama. V'uta sh'a amru lo yishteh adam mayim v'yitin the talmidor ela im ken shafach me'em. Ravashi omar, and actually, Rishut Haitala Lisrof et Ksuto, and people would say in those days, Ma kol bazra, kol of a poor Ben Levi loka, ubegadav nisrafim, shiashan noam mishmaro, that'll teach him a lesson. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, where it even happened to my uncle once, Pamachat matzuot achi imi, yoshen vesrofu et Ksuto, Om Rabbi Chia Baraba, kimati Rabbi Yochra, ma matita marachi, Ashrayem l'rishonim shafilo al ones sheino simdim. Imagine shalo al ones sheina alahat kama v'kama.
That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11. Okay, gentlemen, here we are on Daf Chof Zayin in Masechet Tamid, Hanukkah Tovshin Samach Hey. That's, by the way, Hey Tovshin Samach Hey, for those of you in the next millennium.
You never know.
All right, so yesterday, the last thing that we did is we discussed why we would refer to the Rovim as Rovim in one place, at the Pirkei Kohanim in the other place. We're up to now the third line, and we're going to go through now a little bit more of the details. In our Mishnah, we only know that there are three Makomos of the Kohanim, which we analyzed yesterday. We have the two Aliyot, which were the Shahar Nitzot, and it's important to remember these are on the north side, because we'll be getting into that later on, and the Beit HaFtivnas, and then we also have the Beit HaMoked. Now, today we're going to go a little bit into the 21 Makomas as well of the Levian, and this is from the Mishnah in Midot. Zanhat. Bishlosha Makomot HaKohanim Shomrim BeBeit HaMikdash. There too we begin the way we began here in Tamid. There's three places where Kohanim, this means Kohanim Mamash, not Kohanim as Levian, BeBeit HaFtivnas, Beit HaNitzot, BeBeit HaMoked. HaLevim, Be'Srim Be'Echad Makomot. There's 21 places where the Leviam are Shomer, and they are as follows. Chamisha Sha'arei Har HaBayit, without right now giving them the names, which actually when we get to Midot, we're going to go through the names of each one of these. But there were five on the five Sha'arim of the Har HaBayit, Arba Al Arba Pinotav, and there were four Mekomot Shmira on the four corners, where the walls would come together in the corner. And there the Shmira was done Mibifnim. And as the Levium stood Mibifnim. Later on the Gemara is going to ask what the difference is over here, the Mibifnim, Mibachutz. There were another five on the five Sharim of the Azara. And here, of course, the question is, does that include now the Beit HaFtivnas? We talked about that these were also Sharim. These were Aliyot above Sharim. That we'll talk about. So we have five on the five Sharim of the Azara, Arba al Arba Pinotav, and here too, at each point where the wall joined at a corner, there were four corners, and therefore four additional Leviim. But here, the Shmira was Mibachutz, outside of the Azara, instead of on the inner side of the Azara. And Echad B'lishkat HaKorban, Echad B'lishkat HaParochet, V'Echad Achorei Beit HaKaporet. Now, there was an additional one Levi. And when we say one Levi, we mean, as the Rambam puts it, and some Nechodim point out, one group of Levim. Because once already we have sufficient Levim to go around, even though here we're going to detail literally individuals, as we'll see. But we had groups, apparently, of 10. Eda is the Lashon that the Rambam uses. And so here we had an additional one. Achore Beit HaKaporet refers to the back of the Beit HaMikdash. So in other words, in the area between the Kotel HaMaravi, so to speak, on our side, and the back of the actual Binyan, in the Azara, we're a little bit further out, of course, that's called the Achore Beit HaKaporet. How do we know this? And we saw that we had three Lishonot of Shmira yesterday, that was in terms of the Kohanim, was the simplest Russia. But how about these places of the Levi'im? Where does that come from? Omer of Yehuda, Misura, V'Yarmila, V'Matnita, Tana. Some say it's actually a Braita. It comes from the Pusik that details the splitting up of the jobs of the Levi'im that was done by David HaMelech, Tzadok HaKohen, so they had a whole commission at the time. One of the things that David did before he died, we know that he did many things that prepared for the Binyan Beit HaMikdash, the purchase of the area, the planning that he spent years on, as the Pasuk details with Shmuel HaNavi. One of the other things that he did, he created a commission which, caused a lot of problems, obviously, because he gave everyone their job. And he split the Levium into the jobs, and this became definitive. The various Mishpachot HaLevium did the same thing, Mishmarot HaKohanah. You can just imagine the type of arguments that were going on. And so it needed to be a very highly visible and very powerful commission, and this defined it l'doros. And over there, it describes the Shmirah of the Levi'im around the Migdash. Now the truth is, that the way many Rishonim learn over here is that the description, including the Mefarish here, the description is of the Shmirah that was being done at his time. And remember, we mentioned yesterday, is it clear that there was Shmirah that was done in Nov and Giv'on? In other words, were the dinim of Shmirah applicable to a Bamat Tzibur? Or are they only in terms of an actual Migdash or Mishkan, which would include Mishkan Shiloh, the Mishkan in the Midbar, but would not have included Nov and Giv'on? The way the Mefarish here is learning, and others learn as well, is that this wasn't Al Shem Ha'atid, what would be, it was actually Al Shem the present. And he made this happen at his time. That not everybody agrees. There's a lot of discussion as to whether it's really applicable. It's a completely different structure that you have in terms of Harabayat, the difference of Harabayat and the Azorah and the number of Sharim. I mean, it certainly would not have been applicable. This would have been a very general application. It was given as he sees it as necessary to have X number of Shmirah. And I must point out to you, it's obviously not a coincidence that you have 21 Mekomas of Levium, 3 Mekomas of Kohen, according to anybody. I mean, whether you hold the Levium or Mitztateh for not, total number of places, 24. That 24 is so central to anything that has to do with the Beit HaMikdash that the fact that we generate the numbers here that are not particularly nogeh parallel to where we put these people. You have to realize that we have 24 mishmarot. Obviously, that's not a coincidence that we also have 24 mekomos, or that we have 24 types of birds that are tameim, the kohanim, of course, related specifically to birds, as I pointed out, because they do malika with their tziporet, of all things. Right? In other words, so there's and then we have the 24, as we'll see later today, there's 24 places where we find Kohanim are called Leviim. And there's dozens and dozens of such things. I mean, we've spoken about them in other places. So don't expect to find necessarily an exact parallel. It could be that when he sets up these numbers of Leviim, we're going to now apply it as is best applied to the Mekom HaMikdash. May have been very different in terms of Mishkan or in terms of Nov and Giv'on. So, in any event, the pasuk reads as follows: La Mizrach Halavim Shisha. In the side that was towards the east, there were six. And we understand this to mean not six people, but rather six places, as the Gemara will show. And when it comes Litzafona, now in the pasuk it says Layom. Layom, there's all question what exactly Layom means. Usually, the way the Gemara sees Layom is that it's facing the rising sun. So even if you were in the north, you faced towards the east. Others learn, the Ravid learns, Layom means Layom, literally, that there they had Shmira in the day. We mentioned that there was a machlokas. According to the Rambam, the Shmira was only at night. According to many others, the Shmira was mainly on the day of Malayla. That's where we explain this in terms of the difference of how one understands the purpose of the Shmira. If the purpose of the Shmira is always to remain aware of Mikdash, what's the difference between Malayla? The purpose of Shmira is to actually protect the Beit HaMikdash from the people coming in who aren't Tar or whatever. Then the fact that it's really busy is enough of a protection. There's people all around. You don't need specific protection. That was the Machlokas, the Rosh of the Rambam. But here the Ravitan is that you have a remez and a pasuk to the difference between the various places. So there were places where you needed Shmira even in the day. When it comes to this, the side on the east, that was the main entrance. The main entrance is something in which people are always there. You don't need as much Shmira. You're talking about these sort of far-off places, which are just Lishakot, nobody has business being there, and so on. Over there, you had Shmira that was even during the daytime. That's one way of understanding the pasuk. The reason that we would face, others learn Layom means to the east, not to the sun. One moment. The reason that we would face the east was because that was the main Knesa. So it's all Shabrim, besides doing whatever they're doing, would keep an eye on the main trouble area, so to speak. Now the concept of Layom, meaning literally to the sun, we find also, we'll see in Midot, we find Lagabi Shchita, the Mokam Shchita of the Tamid, was Mechuvin specifically where the sun would hit. So there are elements that have to do with Keneged Hayom, because after all, the Tamid is a din in the Yom. So therefore, Meseches Tamid, which includes Shmira, as part of apparently the Seder HaTamid, even though there's a logistic reason
which is we want to start from the wake-up call and people that are ready for the pious for Trumas Adarshan, which was the Hachanim for the Tamid, and more than Hachanim, if you look in the Psukim, it's clear, Yeolah, Mokdal, Aish, and so on. That has to do with the whole Surat HaTamid. There's something about the fire on the Mizbeach, or the ashes on the Mizbeach, that's connected to the idea of a fire all the time, so to speak, which is not really the Korban Tamid, per se. But in any event, it may be that there are elements of Yom in that sense. To actually be Nogea, the Yom and the Tamid of the Yom, which ties, would tie into elements of those who hold, like the Rosh, that it's Nogea, the Yom, not like the Rambam, Zoni, Belayla. Sorry, dear President, for interrupting.
I think the main interest in the Arambaik was in the South. The main interest.
You mean what we have here in the Binyan of Urdas? I don't know. I mean, it's true that archaeologically, this certainly seems to be the main business because you have the Yir David Lamata. Maybe it means Lagabi the Azora. You know, over there, obviously, that was the entrance. You know, the Azora was all Klapi, the east. I don't know. I mean, here again, the Psukim don't tie. If it's a reference to Novin Givon, then it's not a problem. That was the only entrance. Arba'a Lenegba was also Layom. And Arba'a, there we had. And La'asufim, what these Asufim are is not good. Somewhere Asufim is a Lashon of Hosafot, where they added these additional Lishakot. There were two additions, is the way the Rosh learns. So it was Shnayim at two times. They added, and others learn Asufim as Lashon of Saf, the Rabbi Nutam learns, the edges. And then it's not clear specifically what place it's referring to. But at this point, we believe that Shnayim means the two and two. Notice two places, each one having two, and that would equal four. And then there's Leparvar, which is similar to our idea of the Parvarim, even though it's a spelled here parbar, which means the outermost area, and that would be towards the west, where there was nobody. I mean, nobody came in the west, he only came in on the east. And the Shnayim, the parbar lemarav, arba'a lemesila, you have four people at the very edges, lemesila, they're very interesting, the Rosh relates to the word sela. Sela, which is a sign of the completion of a stanza in Tehillim. So it means Sela is a Lashon of edge, end. So here too, well, we use it even as an end, Sela, forever, like we'll say something, even though it really is a musical notation. So here the Mesila would be the edge of the bayit. And then you also had, in addition to those that were at the edge, you had the Shnayim Leparvar, two that were all the way at the end, not up against the bayit, but at the end against the wall, the outside wall. Anyway, add those up, and we come up with 24. I thought you said there were 21. Amri, Hani Esrim V'Arba Haba. Wait a second. If that pasuk is the basis of the 21, then somebody's got a problem with doing addition. Rabbi Hachi Kama. No, you're reading it wrong. You're assuming the Asufim Shnayim means four. It means Asufim Shnayim. The Rosh understands that very badly. Kipshuta. Le Asufim Shnayim, for the two Asufim Shnayim, two people. It's the simplest way of understanding it. The Mefarish doesn't see it that way, and he explains, Shnayim is a poetic ending. It's normally when we're making a list, since we double it, it's the end of the pasuk, we double it. It's very difficult to have. But the Rosh is really perfect. So you have two Asufim, and you have two people, one in each one of these Asufim. Yeah, last I heard 24 minus 2 equals 22. So the problem is that you said 21. So Akati, Esrim Vitrehave. How about, this still equals 22. Ah, Hech the Parbar Chadhave. Actually, although it lists over here six to the west, two of which are watching the Parbar, but actually there was only one person in the Parbar. The reason there was an additional person there was because he's so isolated that we wanted to give him a friend, you see. So over there was Bitsatsa Huda Azil, the Yosef Gabe, Mishum Dekai Abroi. Since he was completely isolated, we wanted to give him a backup. So his backup was included here in the numbers, but it wasn't really a number of the necessary, it was a different place, it was a different person. Actually, the others are references to places.
Is that
saying, that's what I mentioned earlier, that in terms of the mentioning, and in this way, we're saying what the Iker did. Is that okay? You can do what you want. But a guy should not be isolated away from the public. And that was Mamash. Well, who would go back there? Omar Ram, but what is the meaning of this Liparbar? And this would work out very well. I mean, if we're saying that the reason that there were two was to keep him company, it's because, as we learned in Zvachim, Liparbar, Omar Bar Rav Shila, obviously when we're saying over here was in the middle of nowhere, the meaning of Parbar is Klape Abar. It means towards the outside. And therefore, this gentleman over here is, and that's interesting for Parvarim also, right, towards the outside. The outer extensions of metropolitan areas. So here in the Beit HaMikdash, it would mean the furthest most extent of the Shmirah, and that's why we had an additional one. Or, you know what, there's a simple solution to this. By the way, you understand that we've got a serious problem according to the Shita of the Smarg. Remember that the Shita of the Smarg all along was that the Levium watch also in the three places where the Kohanim watch. He learned the Gemara yesterday about the Kohanim Lamala and Levium Lamata as being literal. In which case, when we say 21 Mikomot, if you learn the way that the Rash learns in the Smarg, the Bach learns in the Smarg, it meant 21 Mikomot besides the 3 Mikomot where they were together with the Kohanim, 21 Mikomot where they were alone. So what's the total? 24. So what was the Gemara asking? That equals 24. You're darn right it equals 24. That's what it's supposed to equal. When we said 21, it meant 21 plus 3. So what's the Gemara's kasher? Obviously, this is the first thing that everybody asks on the Shita of the Smarg. Makes absolutely no sense. It's supposed to equal 24. So one of the terutzim that's given to the Smarg Shita, I mentioned this to you yesterday, that it was Nogea later on, is that the Levim that were Shemrim in the place where the Kohanim were actually Mishartim to the Kohanim, as it's much in the post. They weren't real Shomrim. They were there basically to bring coffee and to, you know, whatever problems the Kohanim would have to help them out. But you couldn't call that a separate place. Of course, this led to the other approach, which is that even though the Levium were watching in the place where the Kohanim were watching, those three places were included in the 21. That would be the point. And you have 18 plus 3 equals 21. Even if you hold like the sheet of the Smog. Remember that we had three different sheets. Three isolated Kohanim, 21 Levium, which is the Pashas of the circuit. Or all together, which is the Rosh, there's 24 because the Levium also watched in those three. Or there were 18 plus those three. Obviously, each tribe had to learn a little bit differently. The Shaklavataria over here. The Pashtut of the Shaklavataria, as I pointed out, is that there were not 24 total places, because otherwise we have a problem. Now, it gets even more complicated in the answer that we're going to offer now. The answer is, Ibaiseba Leolam Asumi Arba. Indeed, it's 24, but Tzlata Minayat the Kohanim, three of these places are Kohanim places, and 21 of these places are Levium places, and we include them all together as 24. And the reason we include them all together is because Kohanim, wait a minute, doesn't it say Levium? Yeah, but it says Levium. But as Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, of all people, has pointed out, many places, I'm Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, the Esrim, the Arba, Mikomot, in 24 places, Nikru Kohanim Levium. V'zeh Chad Mehem, you want an example? Boy, this is the best example. HaKohanim HaLevium, B'nei Tzadok. Okay, I mean, go try to argue on that one, all right? So I'm telling you, you look around, you'll see that if you analyze the Pesukim, you'll find 24 places where we refer clearly to Inyanim that involve Kohanim. This is one of them. And yet we call them Levium, okay? I'm telling you it's because Levium are inclusive. And Kohanim can be called Levium. So therefore, over here, again, would be two ways to read it. One way would be that it's the Levium also are in those places, and the Melu include, but then why would we need Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? You see, it gets terrible. If you're telling me that it's talking about the Levium, and you're saying it includes the three Mekomas of the Kohanim, thank you. Why do you ask me? But doesn't it say Levium? Yes, we're talking about Levium, right? Levium were also in the places of the Kohanim. What's your problem? What's bothering you exactly? If you're troubled, it's obviously because you don't hold that Levium was Shemer in the Makom of the Kohanim. So again, the Gemara is strongly mashma that you have literally 21 that are uniquely Levium and three that are uniquely Kohanim, and therefore we're asking over here, so how do you include all of that under Levium? And we answer because Kohanim could be called Levium. You can see how the sugya again, I mean, it gets worse later. But the sugya again and again, up until this point, is mashma that it's literally 21. Okay, now we said that the Shemirah, getting back to the Mishnah in Midot, for which we began all of this, was certainly only a loose translation of the overall dinim that we derived from the Pasuk of Dovid HaMelech's time, is that the way we split it was we had Chamisha, Chamisha, Sharei Arbayet, Va'arbal, Arba Pinotav, and that's Mitocho, we said that was inside of the Harabayet, and then we had Chamisha, Sharei Azara, and Arbal Arba Pinotav, and that was in the Bachut. When it comes to the Azara, they didn't go inside, they went to the outside of the Azara. Why is that? Maishna Arabayet Davina Mitocho, U Maishna Azara Davina Mibachut. Amri. The reason is, and here is a mocker for when you're very tired saying, I'm finished. I'm crashed. Because Harabayit to Itama, if the guy is finished, meaning he just doesn't have the energy to stand any longer. Mashma, this was a 12-hour job. In other words, you didn't get the chance to give it over to somebody else. It's like you're carrying the Sefer Torah on Simchas Torah, you know. So you're not allowed to hand it to somebody else. You're dying over it. But you don't want to be mizalzel in the Kavod HaTorah. You know, you're hoping someone will beg you for taking this. So this guy is finished. He can't take it another minute. He's about to collapse. But he's not allowed to sit down in the Azorah. Therefore, we put him in the outside so that if, in fact, he gets to such a state, he could sit down. Mashing in the Harabayit, you're allowed to sit down. So therefore, in the Harabayit, you could do it bifnim. And so let's just see that inside. The Tama, if he's kaput, Uboi Mesa Yosef, he wants to sit down. So therefore we say, Aminu Mitocho, Bazara, the Tama, Uboi Mesa Lomatsi Yosef. In the Azara, you couldn't sit down. The Yomamar, Inu Shiva Bazara, Ela Lamalche Beit David Bilvad. You needed to be a member of the royal family of David and a king, and then you could sit down. So over there, Aminu Mibakwitz, we put him on the outside. Now, the thing I don't understand is, you say there were five on the five Sharim of the Azara, but the problem is that there were seven Sharim on the Azara. The Chamisha Sharim Udaave Azara, he tells me there were only five entranceways to the Azara. V'ramini says b'feirush that Shiva Sharim ayu b'Azara. Shlosha b'tzafon v'shlosha b'darom v'achad b'mizrach. Omra Abaye, Shrei minay lo tzrichi shimur. Two out of the seven didn't require Shimur. Now, why didn't they require Shimur? The Pashtut is, they didn't require Shimur, because two of the Sharim included the Shar HaMitzot and the Shar Beit Avtinas, which were also on the same side. So that means that B'sach HaKol, in the additional places that we need to mention for the Leviim, were 21 because why would you need to have Levium when the Kohanim are already watching there? Now, if this is what it means, then it's saying the Pharaoh should be, did not put Levium in those places, right? Because they didn't require Shimur. They were already Kohanim there, so we couldn't have included them in the 24 places. We're Bedatka reaching our requisite number over here without talking about those Mekomas. Okay, again, how are you going to learn? You can learn. We don't mention them as specific places for Levium, as we're talking about the 21 places. 21 does not include that, but then it's a problem with the sheet that also were 18 places plus 3. So then why is the bias saying they don't need Shimur? I thought you're including them in the 21. So the other explanation would be, and this is dependent on an understanding of Midot, which we'll see when we get there, is that two of the Sharim, in other words, two of the seven Sharim, were so close, if you analyze, they were placed between two of the Sharim that had Shmirah, that they were covered by the Sharim of the others. It's like I said by the Parvat, that we had Davi Lahaka, that a Shomer, if he's nearby, he could keep an eye on two different places. So those two Sharm didn't need Shmira, not because there already was Shmira. After all, we did have Shmira in Beit Avtivnes and in the Shaar Mitzvot. Completely different way of learning, but again, depending on how you understand the places, you're sort of forced into these kind of two ways. So that's one approach. The Shreimin Elo Boi Shimur. Rava says, look, actually not everybody agrees that to the number of Shalim. I'll show you there's even a third sheet. That's it. It's all not Pashut. Because it's Machlokes Tanoim, Netanya. Ein pochatim mishloshasar gizbarim umishiva hamar kalim. So there has to be at least 13 gizbarim, 7 amar kalim. Now there's 7 amar kalim. The pashas of amar kal is that it comes to lashon of amar kal, because we use this word to mean someone who's in charge. Amar kal, he says everything. He tells exactly what needs to be done. You know, so he's the supervisor. Now, if we understand that these shiva, Rabbi Nosser Marein Pochatin, mi Yud Gimel Gizbarim, keneged Yud Gimel Sha'arim, the reason you have to have 13 Gizbarim is because it's a reference to Gizbarim, so some learn, that are appointed on the Sha'arim. So then, Dal Chamishad Arabai Pashlut Manya. If you take out now the 5 Sha'arim of the Harabayit, how do you get 13? And the 7 and 5 is only 12. So apparently this money almost that there were 8. So Tmanya, you must be up Pashula Tmanya the Azara. You have 8 left for the Azara. So you see, Amahikatana, the Amar Tmanya. There's also a third sheet that holds 8. So the fact that we have a Tana in the Mishnah that says Shiva, fine. And we have our Tana over here that talks about the places that the Levim are Shemir on the Hamishah Sharim, maybe all it's fine. So the question is, what's considered to be a shahr? I mean, there may be doorways, but it doesn't mean that they're meant for use in as shahrim, literally. Then the Mishnah continued that when the rovim, the youngsters, would sleep on the floor, they would not sleep in the big day kahuna, but they would sleep in their own pajamas, and then they would put the big day kahuna. It says tachat roshehem, put it underneath their heads. Now you're saying over here sheinahu delo. In other words, we wouldn't allow them to be sleeping in their big day kuhuna, aval hiluch malchim. But they'd be allowed to walk around in the big day kuhuna if they weren't going to sleep. You know, why are they walking around in the big day kuhuna if we said that they're not going to be doing avoda? I thought big day kuhuna are a hegdash. I mean, you can't just wear them. So what would they be doing? Are we going to conclude shmat mina the big day kuna nitnu lehenot ben? Are we saying that big day kuna are essentially kodesh in such a way, and there's a big machlok of showing them how this would work with Rashi. There's no Rashi here, but Rashi learns elsewhere that it was a getter of lev beit din matzneh, which we've seen used very often, that when you make the original kedusha, you make it tznai. That we find the same thing in the Gabi Beit HaKnesset, whether you're allowed to make Kiddush Beit HaKnesset, that you can eat in the Beit HaKnesset, that type of thing. So the Lev Beit Din makes it Tanai that we're making this Kodesh, but the Kiddush shouldn't be Chal in such a way that it creates an Isser Me'ila if it's Shalobish. Because, I mean, after all, I mean, a human being is a human being. I mean, rip off your clothes the second you finish the Avon, how would that work exactly? Others taina that that has to be built into the nature of the big day kuhuna, that the big day kuhuna are meant for the use of the kohanim, with the understanding that a human being is human and not a malach hasharet, and therefore, I mean, how in the world could you give them begonim that they're going to be merlin? The point is, these are your clothes. The reason I'm giving you these clothes is so you should be able to do the avoda. Okay, I mean, we don't want you wearing it all the time, perhaps, you know, to be knowing minachol. But you certainly don't have to worry that you're going to come in day Me'ila. Similarly, we had the same issue with Gabi, the Shemana Mishra by Aaron, that he was afraid, you know, that he maybe had a little bit too much Shemana Mishra on the door. This is that there are certain things that are meant to be used in a particular way. There is no Kedusha that answers you in using it in that particular way. The important Nakuda over here is actually, is it possible, those who argue with Rashi, So is it possible to make it tonight? Yes, you can make it tonight. We find many examples where we say Leiv Beit Din Matzneh. But over there, the tonight was that you can switch it from this Kedusha to another Kedusha. Or if it turns out that it's not necessary, then we say we never meant to make it Kodesh. But to make it tonight, that it's sort of half and half, it's Kodesh, but there's no Me'ilah on it. Where does that come from? I mean, you can't create a new concept of Me'ilah. Either it is Kodesh or not Kodesh. You can't just determine what it is that it's going to be Kodesh for. So Me'ilah wouldn't even have the whole halacha of the Leiv Beit Din Matzneh Aleihem Licha Ora does not apply, according to those shitas. And therefore they search for other reasons why we would have a sheet that it would hold. But the Gemara is concerned, because this is a question that we have in Yuma, the Gemara is concerned with the fact that this Mishnah seems to imply clearly that the only problem with the Bid Gekuna was sleeping on them. But if you're walking around, that's not a problem. Isn't that a clear indication like the Shita? I mean, why don't we use this as the proof, an absolute proof? Big day, Kuna, Nitinula, not me. Yeah?
Were the clothes new clad to the specific Kohen, or was it like group uniforms, you picked one off the shelf?
You picked one off the shelf, but it had to fit you. Okay. Yeah. We learned that from Midoba, it has to be Midato. It has to fit. It doesn't mean necessarily it has to be tailored for you. Amri, not necessarily. Who had din, dafilu yilav and amimo? It may well be that it was usher even to walk around with the Bidei Kuna if it was not for a purpose that was related to Avoda. By the way, I mentioned to you earlier that there's a machlokas Rishonim as to whether those who were being osik in Shmira wore Bidei Kuna. According to the Rambam, it appears it's an actual type of Avoda, which leads again to an understanding of the difference between the Rovim and the Pirchei. If these Rovim were active in Shmira, then obviously the only time they wouldn't be wearing the Begodim, according to the Rambam, would be when they're sleeping, which actually moots the whole discussion over here in the Sugya. What do you mean, B'shasil? B'shasil look the rest of Shmira. This is part of the Sugya that we need to go through when we have our extra millennia to work out the Prote Dinim in the Gemara. So over here, it's possible that we would have said the same thing about Hiluch. The Mishnah doesn't mean that they didn't sleep in, but they could walk. They couldn't walk in either. The only reason that the Mishnah stresses the sleeping issue, it's the end that we're sort of trying to get across to you over here, where there is a Chiddush. In the Seifa, because we wanted to talk about the fact that you could fold up your Bigdei Kuna and put it under your head, which is a big Chiddush, as we'll see, therefore it said in the Reisha, you didn't sleep in them. Okay, fine. I'm ready to accept that. But I still have the same Diyuk. Still exactly the same Diyuk. What do you mean you put it under your head? So in other words, you're being Nana from it. It becomes now your pillow. So I have the same Diyuk from there. Right, so Habufa Raya. This itself is a proof of what I'm saying. It says, so, isn't that a Raya? Very good. All you did was focus the Raya even better. Thank you. So now we have for sure a Raya. You're allowed to sleep on your Bigdei Kuna and use them as a pillow. QED. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Ema. Neged Rosh. I mean, it says under their heads. It doesn't mean literally under their heads. It means on the level of their head, to treat it with respect. So if you would have your tefillin, we have exactly the same halacha there, as we'll see. So you put your tefillin not by your feet, where it's a bizoyan. Put your tefillin next to your head, and if anybody would attempt to take your tefillin, you'd hear them, and it's as if you're obviously not sleeping on your tefillin. So it means neged Rosh Hashem. What's the chiddush that the Mishnah felt incumbent upon themselves to bring this out? Because you might think there's always a danger that in your sleep you'll twist and turn and end up sleeping on your Bidei Kuna. Therefore, Kamashman is not a problem, and you can put it next to your head. Amrav Papa. If that's the case, then you see from here that you could put your tefillin right up next to your head also. So Shema minat tefillin minat sat sharya v'lo chashina dilma migander v'nafal alay. We're not afraid that a guy's going to twist in his sleep and end up sleeping on his tefillin, which is a bizayon. Because, I mean, look, If, when it comes to the big day kahuna, which could be a question on a d'oraisa, I mean, you can't be, I mean, even if you want to get away from the me'ilah question, you certainly can't be noig min chol mamish in the dvarim shel kedusha. So, I mean, when it comes to your tefillin, not to sleep on your tefillin, I mean, there's no issur d'oraisa, but it's a bizoyan for your tefillin, and therefore the chachamim answered it, you know. But, by the way, there are those who want to relate this entire sugya, the Mefarish brings a pshat that he had from his Rebbe, about the question of sleeping with or near things that you mustn't act in them in ways that may happen while you're sleeping, such as the release of flatulence and so on, which is a bizoyan for your tefillin. Obviously, you're not allowed to do that if you're wearing your tefillin, or you're not allowed to, and that's why you can't sleep in your tefillin. You're afraid that because you relax your bodily functions when you're asleep, you'll be mavazi your tefillin, and that's what it would be nogea, the big day kahuna. And the question is, would such issues be nogea if you're next to the thing? In other words, you're holding your tefillin. We have those isurim chal, even on that, you're holding your big day kahuna. And that would be the question. The Mefarish is really docha these, because the Kal V'Chomer over here is a Kal V'Chomer on the question of the rights with the big day kahuna, especially with the older Osir to be in it, and to the tefillin, which is only a drabonim, which works out very nicely. By the way, don't think that I'm just pushing you around over here when we say that it's min hatzad. Right? You say, okay, you don't want me to have a riyas. No, it's gotta be min hatzad. Of course it doesn't mean you're sleeping on them. Because you've got another problem over here. The big day kahuna are shakness. Forget about the issue of whether b'shatz avodah, shalom b'shatz avodah, they're shakness. So how could you be sleeping, warming your head on shakness? I mean, that's another problem. It's got to be connected Rosh Hashanah. Let's say that there's no Isser Me'ila on the Big Day Kuna. How are you going to, but they claim Isser Me'ilah? What about the Isser Kelayim? Sahani, by the way, you understand that this is very problematic. Because then forget about the question of under your head. What do you mean, Nitulanot Ben? You've got the same problem. And if you're wearing them, and it's Nitulanot Ben, how are you wearing shotguns?
Where's the shotgun?
In the belt. So, I mean, why didn't we ask that up in the beginning? We should say, what do you mean, Nitulanot Ben? What do you think? And we're going to be modern to wear shotguns. So obviously, it can't mean that. No, that's not a problem. It's only a problem when it's under your head. I mean, does that make sense? If under your head it's a problem, of course you're going to be wearing it, it's a problem. Now, mikan, there is a diyak among many that the implication here is that the big day kahuna are not called kelayim in terms of levisha. In other words, the Torah is saying these begadim as begadim are not kelayim. Make it this way. There's no Isser Kelayim. This is the way they're supposed to be. But if you take that same baggage and you use it as a pillow, then it has nothing to do with the baggage. Now forget about the issue of whether you're allowed to be nene from these things. How could you then be nene from the Kelayim? Warm yourself from the Kelayim? So, hey, Nichalamandi Amar. Now, this is anybody who remembers the sugya in Yuma. And we've had this sugya many places. There's something wrong with the phrasing here. Because here it says, Eilich lamandi amar, avneto shel kohen gadol lo zeh avneto shel kohen edyot. That phrasing, this phrasing always means, avneto shel kohen gadol on Yom HaKippurim. And here it means the opposite. And therefore, the correct gerusa here probably is, Avneto shokohen hediot lo zehu avneto shokohen gadol. It's a completely different issue. We know that Aaron and Banav both were given avnet. Doesn't talk about the material that the avnet was made of when it talks about the big day kohen hediot. Only talks about it in terms of the kohen gadol. The kohen gadol was definitely kelayim because it needed to be both from tchelet, which is wool, and from also the sheish. So there's no way out of it. It's got to be kelayim. There's a question as whether to whether the Avneta, the Kohen Het Yod, was also made from Kilayim. Now, if you hold that the Avneta, the Kohen Het Yod, Lo Zeo Avneto Shel Kohen Gadol, is not the same as a Kohen Gadol's Avne, nothing to do with Yom HaKippurim, it's the opposite phraseology, and indeed there is Shinui Girsaot here, so then it works out fine. It works okay. So then you say, "Well, there's that works out fine." I mean, then there's no raya. You can tell me, "Well, from there it's not a raya." But if you hold Avneto Shel Kohen Het Yod, Zeo Avneto Shel Kohen Gadol, you note the way it's phrased here. It continues on with that. First, the Kohen Het Yod to the Kohen Gadol. You see, it's very logical that that's the correct gears at the beginning. So then, if you hold that it was Kilayim and the Kohen Het Yod is the same as the Kohen Gadol. So how do you explain the fact that it would be under his head? Obviously, the way I did, it isn't under his head. It's next to his head. That's the point. So, Michael Amima. Maybe you'll tell me, no, even that's not a riot, because maybe you could put your head on it. Because after all, Kilayim, it says, Lota le'alecha. Don't put it on you. It doesn't, don't put it under you. So maybe you're allowed to sleep on a pillow that's Kilayim. So maybe you'll tell me, okay, but Kilayim is only usur to wear it as clothing or to cover yourself with it as a cover. But to put it beneath you, shapir dami, that would be okay. No, it's not okay. But Tanya, although it says in the Braisa, based on the Pasuk, lo ya'ale alecha, we're medayik in the Lashon, the Pasuk, don't put it above you. You could put Kilayim beneath you. Continues the Braita. Nonetheless, the Chachomim have said, Asur la'asot kein. You must not do that. Because if you have something beneath you, always a chance. Maybe a thread, a loose thread, will come along or above you. So it gets stuck on your finger. Already you're being nene from Kilayim alecha. Bechitame of the mafsik me, maybe say, okay, fine, so you put a sheet over it, and then you have it under the sheet. So then for sure there's no chance that it would get on you. Nope. Om Rabbi Shimon, Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Om Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, Mishum Kila Kadisha Shebirushalayim. This was an accepted halakha, takanata tachomi made, afilu eser matzaot, zohar gabzus. As a matter of fact, this was the original source, I'm told, of the Princess and the Peace story, in which the sensitivity was not to a pea, as the goyim have it, but rather to a small piece of kilayim that was all the way underneath. And even if you have 10 mattresses, one above the other, and kilayim all the way on the bottom, it would be usur lishan aleihem, you couldn't sleep on them. So how could it mean, then, that you put it literally beneath your head? Ela shma bina neged roshim. See, I'm right, says Papa. What it means is that it was near your head. Well, of course, it's not 100% araya, because he by sema botan shein ben kilayim. Maybe it meant besides the avnet, you know. But yeah, they put it under their head, meaning the pants, the shirt, there's no kilayim there. Ravashi says it's b'chlal no problem, because the big day kahuna were made out of these insanely thick threads. Remember, they were kaful. You know, each thread was made really out of six other threads. They were very, very heavy, the materials that were made out of sheish and tchelas and so on. So even if you'd say it was shatnez, it wouldn't be us or a shatnez. Because the Omer Rabbuna Bereder of Yeshua, hai namta gamda the narish, that thick felt that they make in narish is not, even though it's made out of kilayim, it's sharia. You're allowed to wear that, which is why they wear Borsellino hats, I'm told, because it's narish. And therefore, all right. Okay, so maybe it's thick, and if it's thick, it doesn't warm. If it doesn't warm, there's no question it's not a getter of Levisha. Huh? No, not because of that, but because it isn't, not because it's a levet. That's another question with the Shua Tovim. No, this is all question of Menachos. But here the Shaila is, even if it only be with Rishatnes the Rabbanah, but it's Bechlal not called Shatnes. Obviously, by the Big Day Kahuna, it's pure Shatnes. Now, this little piece is brought in from the Sugya Nyuma. Apparently, it doesn't really belong here. But it's that famous story about the holiday on the 25th day of Teves, which there the Gemara brings a raya about Big Day Kahuna, because of the whole story of Alexander the Great and Shimon HaTzadik. And there was a lot of a lot of propagandizing of the Sadukim, Kusim, really the Kusim then, that wanted the Beit HaMikdash wiped out by the Greeks. And they tied it that the Jews were planning a rebellion. Shimon HaTzadik found out about it, and he gets dressed up, and it's a famous story. He gets dressed up in the Big Day Kahuna, and they're walking all night, and the Greeks are getting really nervous. Who are these guys? Why is these torches being carried? In the morning, it turns out he's very. He asks this Kutim, who are the? Ah, those are the guys that are planning the rebellion. And he sees Shimon HaTzadik, and he runs over and bows down to him. And the Greeks are like, what? You know, what's going on? And they ask him, how could you do such a thing? And he says that I see an image of this guy before I go into a battle, and it's because of him that I always win my battles. It couldn't be that they're plotting against me. Instead, they go up to Argrizim and they tear apart Argrizim, and so on. This became a holiday. So, but meanwhile, the Gemara says, you see, the Shimon HaTzadik was wearing the big kahuna outside of the Beit HaMikdash. It's a riot. Nitul and Odam and so on. Okay, so over there it answers Eislatz or Shlachem Torah. It's not really a raya. Okay, so here the Gemara just sort of brings etc. 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 So the first teretz was Ruinei LeBig Dekuna. He didn't really literally wear Big Dekuna. He wore a begotten that looked like the Big Dekuna and could have been made Kodesh, but weren't. Or maybe it was a Big Dekuna, but I mean it was a time of danger for Klal Yisrael. Eislatz Lashem Eferot Torah. It's not really very much Nogei Har Sugya, so we put it here in the parentheses because it seems to be an intrusion from the Sugya Nyuma. Continue the Mishnah. Ira Keri Be'achad Miyam. So now, if one of the people that was sleeping in the Beit HaMoked, where they had these double-decker beds, not beds really, but jutting out of the wall, so what would he do as a Balkari? He's in trouble. He's in the Aziz. He would have to go through the Azorah. What? Actually, it was very simple, said the Mishnah. They had a staircase where you went down into a subterranean passageway, which led to a mikveh, and therefore there was really no problem for the Balkari. Misayelai l'Rabbi Yochanan. This seems to be a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. As Rabbi Yochanan says, Michilot lo nitkadashu, that actually the underground passageways had no Kedusha. This is
fresh.
We'll see, that's the next sugya. As a matter of fact, I should wait to drink it until we get to the sugya to prove the clarity of our president and his anhogas. So, in any event, if he says that you have to go down to the subterranean passage, what's the point of that if the mechilot, which were these passages, had the same Kedusha anyway? But so you're not gaining anything. So from here, it's a proof to Rav Yochanan's contention that the Mechilot actually were not Kodesh and had never been given the Kedusha. And furthermore, Balkari Mishtaleach Chutz L'Shnei Machadot. Most learn that this is a separate issue. Balkari Mishtaleach Chutz L'Shnei Machadot means that a Balkari is allowed neither in the Azorah nor in Arabayit. He's only allowed in the city, Machane Yisrael, not Machane Levia, and not Machane Shechina. The question is, what does that have to do with the issue over here, since the Mechilot over here opened into the Arabayit, if you hold that he went out from there. If it only opened into the Azor, it's really a problem. If it opened into the Azor, it didn't have the Kiddush of the Azor. We'll see all about this in Midot. So there were two separate things, and he quoted two issues, Balkari Mishtaleach Chutz L'Shnei Machanot, and also Mechilot on Nitkadash. So the pshat over here is that the Mechilot indeed opened up the Arabayit. Those that opened up the Arabayit were not Mekudash at all, as we'll see in Midot. In which case, they made it this way so that the Balkari would leave everywhere until he got to the Mikvah. Once he was told that he became a Tful Yom, he was allowed to come back in without passing through the hell from underneath. That was the whole discussion we had about the nature of going back up. Why go back up? First of all, I mean, wait until the door is open and go fly out the door. Okay. Very good. Continues the Gemara. Rav Safra havayati v'beit akise. Now Rav Safra was in the next thing that we had in the Mishnah, which the Gemara printer left out over here, should have been introduced with the words beit kisei shel kavod hayasha, right? So next thing was, there was a beit akise that had a door, which clearly was unusual, otherwise we wouldn't have pointed it out. So this beit kise had a door, and therefore you always knew if the door was closed it was being used, and you didn't need to find out if someone's inside, which means that the norm was that there was no door. So what happened when you wanted to go to an area that was used as a public bathroom? You basically coughed. Somebody would answer you, it means that someone was in there. Now what happened once was Rav Safra was using the bathroom, and Rav Abba came and did a normal thing, nocharly, he coughed. And Rav Safra, madly, instead of coughing back, said, "Please, sir, come in." Now this, of course, in England, this is now considered to be, the height of culture.
Sharing toilets,
yeah, because, you need somebody to talk to, so they're making them big enough for two. Only for the women, because women can't stop from, they can't stop talking in the bathrooms. So he says, "Leomar, come on in." Boston and Norfolk, when they both get out, Rav Abba says, "This is insane. Atkamo salikta l'sayir, you haven't even gotten to the area of Sayir, which is Edom, as he was planning on going there to Yisrael and passing by. Gamarta mile de Sayir, you're already learning their minhagim." around here we live in Poras, and Gemara says the Persians were very makbid on Sniut and Beit Akise and other areas. And at least over here they're a little bit cultured. You guys, what are you? You're living in England or something? Why do we use it as Sayir? It's interesting, Marsha says, but why don't we refer it to Edom? Because the Gemara says that the name of the shade in the Beit Akise is called the Sayir. So the Sayir is, and it damages people who are not so new in the Beit Akise. So you haven't even gotten the Sayir yet, and already you're learning the milim of the Sayir of the Beit Akise. In any event, doesn't it say in Tami, Matz'o na'ul v'yadua she'esham adam, that if the door is closed, you know somebody's in there? Well, heck, according to you, just walk right on in. So obviously you're not supposed to walk into a bathroom when somebody's there. So what are you telling me? Come in. What was Rav Safra thinking, actually? Rav Safra, Sarva Dilma Misukanu. Rav Safra was afraid that Rav Abba, as an elderly gentleman, might have been in a position in which he desperately needed the bathroom. And if he desperately needed the bathroom, then it's dangerous not to use the bathroom. Get a dining Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Amuda Chozer Meviat Adam Midei Hadrukan, that holding feces in brings a person to a state in which he can get a serious intestinal ailment, and therefore you've got to use the bathroom when you've got this, so you gotta go when you gotta go. And Silon Achozer, Silon already is a reference to liquid, like reference to urine, maintaining urine in the system and forcing it back up is now going to bring another day Arakon. He can easily damage his kidneys or liver, and he'll end up with hepatitis. Omele Rechia Berei, Rav Setachia, his son, and son of Ravuna, also taught this to his son, Rabba. A couple of rules about behavior. First of all, Kashich taki nafshecha v'kadim taki nafshecha. Make sure you train your body to go to the bathroom late at night before you go to bed, and early in the morning before people are outside, because kechad lo titrachek. If you don't, you may need a bathroom in the middle of the day. Bathroom, of course, always refers to the gedolim. Urinating was up against any wall or tree or whatever. But in order to do that, you'd have to go far away. And, you may not want to. And then you'll hold yourself in, you'll come to Sakona, it's very unhealthy. Make sure that you feel free to use the bathroom. And in order to do that, train your body to use early in the morning. When people are not outside, you won't have to go very far.
So the Gemara saying it's just bad to hold in number two.
It's bad to hold in anything.
Especially
the tircha for number two.
No, the tircha we're afraid. Furthermore, tuve first sit in the toilet, or squat, obviously, those days. and then gully, and then uncover yourself. Don't look like an idiot, uncover yourself first. And obviously they wore skirts, not pants. It's a little difficult to take off your pants when you're already, but that means in their terms. And kum, and then kasi, and then go cover yourself, and then kum, then get up. Shtof vishati, always wash out the cup before drinking. Never drink from a cup that has not been washed. And when you put the cup back down, wash it out. Shtof v'achit. Do not put down a cup without its being washed, or some idiot's going to pick it up and drink from it without washing it first. Now this is very dangerous because you're going to end up spreading disease. God only knows what the guy before. This is amazing because it's obviously centuries and centuries before the germ theory of disease, but it was clear to them that mixing of saliva was very dangerous. Ukishata shotemai, if you're drinking water and you want to give it to somebody else, shvoch mayim, pour out some water over the area that you were drinking, which washes up the cup and also washes up the top level that may be carrying some of your saliva in it. Get it out of the cup and then hand it to your Talmud. We'll talk in a moment of why it says your Talmud. Kiritanya, lo yishtah na mayim yitain. Most learn that it says the Talmido because you would think that when it comes to your Talmud and you share so much already that whatever, you know, whatever you got, they got. I mean, it's all the same. Kamashma, that even the Talmido, you should pour out and make sure that it's clean. And furthermore, I mean, it's like a brisa. Lo yishtah da mayim yitein l'talmido, elim kein shafach mehem. And it was actually a story of Maaseh Be'echad. There was one rabbi who drank water, didn't pour out from the cup, handed it to his Talmud to drink. The Talmud was embarrassed. He wasn't going to pour it out himself, but he couldn't stand the thought of drinking from the cup that his rebbe had drank from, and he died. He didn't have anything to drink. He got dehydrated. They were sitting out there. He refused to drink from the same bottle that they were handing around. And he ended up getting dehydrated, and God only knows, should never do such a thing. Oto Talmid Istanisaya, he was a sensitive person, who made Bitsamai die from dehydration. Botasha Amru, and at that time they made a gezeira, lo yishteh adamayim yitein l'talmido, elin kein shafach mim. You've got to pour it out even to your Talmud. It's the way most learn. Now, let's first finish it. Rav Ashi Amar, based on this halacha, Yilkach, I tell Mida, the Shafich Kamei Rabbi, Les Be Mishrom Afkiruta, if your Rebbe gives you a cup to drink that he drank from, and you, am I going to pour some out? I mean, it's almost like a slap across the face. No, that's completely okay. You could pour out the water in his face, because this is part of the Takana, is that you're not expected to drink water that other people drank from. Kol, obviously not to pour it out, start to pour out a little bit in order to be able to drink. Now, kol mili lo tiflot ba'api rabcha, the din is that you should not spit out something in front of your rabbi. Bar mikara v'daisa, the only thing is that if you feel disgusted by some pumpkin that you're eating, or by some cereal, it's causing reflux, don't re-swallow that. The kiptila shel eiver damu. That's like drinking boiling lead. Okay, now the shaila is a lot of discussion over here at the looseness of the minhag that we have to hand out drinks, especially kiddush, which is just horrific, in which people pass around the kos of kiddush. And the question is, what heter could there possibly be to pass around cup of kiddush? And there's a lot of those who try to be machalic between, this is only said for nistanis, like the Labushin Shah. It's clear from the Gemara that that's not true, because it's talking about, you know, anybody. It's saying because someone may be a nistanis, but that doesn't mean that you have a right to hand it out. So others are machalic between the wine and the water. Maybe the alcohol in the wine is, it makes it safer to drink than the water. But the Taz brings that he saw in the Tzavah of Rabbi Eliezer Agado, which is an ancient document, that you should never, ever drink from something that someone else drank from, because you have no idea what diseases he's carrying. He says this openly. You have no idea what diseases he's carrying, and God knows what you may catch from it.
The people may not be pouring from the coast the wine, they're handing it out to other people. That's very common. They drank from that cup. That was
exactly. But the Sephardim particularly do not do that. They drink and they pass. And the question is, why do they drink and they pass? I mean, that they have a lot of discussion about this issue, because that's the minhag. So, I mean, some have a minhag, which they do this under the chuppah also. So this is where it really comes up. The Ashkenazim are makbid, that the one who makes the bracha does not drink from the cup. He gives it directly to the chassan and kala to drink. And heck, she might as well get used to it, you know what I mean? But he doesn't drink from it, okay? But they drink. They make berger gafen, they drink, and then they hand it. Maybe they don't want to. What do you mean? They know the one who's making the bracha. The Masadik Kedusha. Okay, so they bring. Maybe you should wipe off the area where your mouth touched. But that doesn't explain the taz. It says you may leave a deposit of germs from a Belozer HaGadol, and you can't drink from it if it ever came in touch with you. It's not a question of the place on the cup. You have to, and you can't pour out, which is the Eitzah, because only water you can pour out. Wine is considered to be Bal Tashchis, and worse, I mean, here he says it, but it's Bizayon Eichlin. It's like a Bizayon to pour it out.
Pour it in another cup.
Ah, then that would be fine.
That's what I've called.
So then there's a Shaila. So they have an interesting approach to this. Interesting approach. Which is the difference between the Talmidim and people in general. What they want to say is that the din that the Rebbe Elazar HaGadol Savo is referring to is only in strangers. You don't know who you're dealing with. You don't know who you're dealing with. You better practice safe drinking, mm-hmm. right? Because you have no idea what this guy is sick with. On the other hand, when you're talking about people that you're close with for years, you know if they're sick. And therefore, there's no hakpada on the germ issue. There's a hakpada only on the personal disgust issue, or the area in which his mouth touches and so on. So that you could clean off, or that you could pour off. And the discussion on your legavi talmidim is that even Lagabe Talmidim, where you know there's no, but nonetheless, there's still an element of disgust because of the problem of unused to this. You should pour out some and clean it off.
You turn the cup the other way.
That's alternative. But when you hand the cup from person to person, that becomes a problem. There's one additional interesting question, which doesn't work out, I'll leave it at Taz, in which some hold that since the takono here is only for unused to this, so it's not a din in health. It's a din in psychology. In which case, if I leave the cup to be either taken or not taken, as the case may be, which is often done in Kiddush, you know, want some wine, though. Okay, fine. We're handing it out to everybody. So over there, if somebody doesn't want to drink, he won't drink. If somebody does want to drink, so then he's not an istinus, so let him drink. But again, that is shalom kitkataz. Because over there he says clearly that there was a Kabbalah that this is dangerous for health to share germs.
Does it help to put in some new wine?
No, that's in terms of pegima. Pegima is a different issue. That's in terms of the chashivas of a bracha, shel mitzvah and so on.
I always wonder where Rav Goldfein used to pour it out into another cup. He used to make kiddush
Exactly. This is what I do too. I mean, if you're marking and so forth, of course, that's what you should do.
Even with your wife only?
Man, if your wife hasn't gotten it yet, let me tell you something. You should be seeing a marriage counselor. Now, Tznan Hossa, we also learn in meetups that we hear, and this again, we left out the introduction. Okay, the correct introduction over here is that he came around and he knocked on the door and they opened. Okay, now it continues there the Mishnah about this thing. There was an individual, it was called the Ish HaRabayit, whose responsibility was to check on each mishmar. As he approached the mishmar, there were people walking in front of him, carrying torches. The mishmar was expected to stand up at attention immediately and say, Ish HaRabayit, Shalom Alecha. Now that was the greeting. Kol Mishma She'eino Omed. Wherever you have a Mishma that doesn't stand up and say Shalom Alecha, is quite clearly in the middle of Daf Yomi. And Nikashu Yashen is obviously sleeping. So what did he do? He had a big stick, and he would start beating them up. And not only that, Rishut Haitalo Lisrof Hatsuto. He could use the torches and put his clothes on fire. The Haim Omrim, and you know, there used to be in Yerushalayim, people would say, what the heck is that noise coming from the Azara? That's a cold young lady, Loke, the god of disruption. She has Shamala Mishparo. That's the sound of some poor guy who was caught sleeping in the middle of Daf Yomi. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, look, I tell you, my family, they got my uncle once. Pamachat Matsua Takti Imi Yoshen Vesofut Suto. It's bad news. You got to get it out fast. But the real question over here is
stop, drop, roll.
No, the question over here is can you burn the big day kula? First of all, is this only a din and levi? Because they talk about what about the Baal Tashkis problem? I'm burning it. Okay, that's not really a serious issue. But what about the big day kula? Isn't there an issue of lotasun ken Hashem lokeifim? You're not allowed to be ma'abed. It's like erasing a shame Hashem. So maybe this is only a reference to Pnei Levi, not to Pnei Kohen. This is my focus. We'll talk about this tomorrow, about exactly how much fun it was to burn the gutter. We started a new thing in which we review the previous dafim, if you want to stick around, but if you know, it's limited to 15 minutes. The water, Baruch.